السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. وبعد, we welcomed our session, I think it's class number 5 of Maraqi Sa'adat of Imam Ash-Shirumbulali. We will be continuing our reading through the text. And we got up to where it says Faslun fi Tafdil, the section on different ranks, or you could say matters of hierarchy in rank. So we will start. He rahimahullah, Imam Ash-Shirumbulali, nafa'ana Allahu bih. He says, فصل في التفضيل لا نفضل أحدا من الأولياء على أحد من الأنبياء ونقول نبي واحد أفضل من جميع الأولياء وخواص بني آدم وهم الأنبياء أفضل من ملائكة الجميع وعوام بني آدم من الأتقياء أفضل من عوام الملائكة وخواص الملائكة أفضل من عوام بني آدم وكل مؤمن بعد موته مؤمن حقيقة لا حكما كما في حال نومه وغفلته وكذا الرسل والأنبياء عليهم السلام بعد وفاتهم رسل وأنبياء حقيقة لأن متصف بالنبوة والإيمان الروح وهو لا يتغير بالموت. So he says رحمه الله that we Muslims, we do not prefer, we do not think that the saints, لا نفضل أحدا من الأولياء على أحد من الأنبياء. We do not believe that, or we do not prefer that any saint, any wali of Allah is, any individual wali is better than a individual prophet. So saints are not more superior than the prophets. And a saint is someone who has intimate experiential knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal, who makes mistakes and can potentially do a wrong action because they're not ma'asum. A wali is not ma'asum. But someone who is steadfast and obedient on Islam, on the deen, but they're not safeguarded from error or sin. This is the general meaning of a saint. Okay, so then he says, we say that one prophet is more superior than all of the saints. One prophet is more superior than all of the saints. And the elite khawas of Bani Adam, any elite from the children of Adam, i.e. وَهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاء, meaning here specifically the Anbiya, أَفْضَلُ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ الْجَمِيعِ, they are better than all of the angels. And the عوام بني آدم من الأتقياء, and the masses of people from the children of Adam or humanity are, meaning the pious from amongst the Banu Adam, i.e. the pious human beings, the pious from humanity, they are better than all of the angels or the masses of the angels. So the elite, the masses of the pious people from the children of Adam, i.e. general humanity, they are better than the awam al malaika, the masses of the, or the generality of the angels. The khawas al malaika, the specific elite angels like Jibril alayhi salam, Mikael, Azrael alayhi salam, and Israfil, These four angels are the Khawasul Malaika, the elite angels. They are afdal, they are better than min awami bani Adam, than the masses of human beings. وكل مؤمن بعد موته مؤمن حقيقة. Every believer after his death is an actual believer. Not hukman, not just in terms of being given a judgment of being a believer. Like, for example, when we are in a state of sleep or inattentiveness, like ghafla or naum, one is in a different state. When we die, everyone is a believer because now they know the true reality. They can't deny the reality that is before them, i.e. the afterlife. So in that sense, death really is the part where the line which we after which we cross, we all become believers, not in the dunyawi sense, ay hukman, but we actually become a believer. So وكذا الرسل والأنبياء عليهم السلام بعد وفاتهم رسل وأنبياء حقيقة. Even after the death, even prophets and messengers after their death, they still remain prophets and messengers in reality. Why? لِأَنَّ مُتَّصِفَ بِالنَّبُوَّةِ وَالْإِيمَانِ الرُّوحِ. The main reason is because they possess the actual attribute or quality of being a prophet, which is the ruh, the spirit, and that doesn't change with their death. So they have the permanent quality of being a prophet. So death doesn't terminate that quality. وَهُوَ لَا يَتَغَيِّرُ بِالْمَوْتِ. So death doesn't change the permanent state of the ruh, their spirit. That is the attribute that makes them a prophet. So they are لِأَنَّ مُتَّصِفَ بِالنَّبُوَّةِ وَالْإِيمَانِ الرُّوحِ. That which makes them a prophet, attributable to be a prophet, is their spirit. And that doesn't end with death. Then it goes on to talk about the karamat of the awliya. وَكَرَمَاتُ أَوْلِيَا وَكَرَمَاتُ أَوْلِيَا حَقٌ فَنُؤْمِنُ بِمَا جَاءَ مِنْهَا وَصَّحَّ عَنِ الثِّقَاتِ نَقْلُهَا وَيَجُوزُ أَنْ يَعْلَمَ الْوَلِيُّ أَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ وَيَجُوزُ أَنْ لَا يَعْلَمَ بِخِلَافِ النَّبِيِّ وَيَجُوزُ إِظْهَارُ كَرَامَةٍ مِنَ الْوَلِيِّ لِلْمُسْتَرْشِدِ تَرْغِيبًا لَهُ عَلَيْهَا وَعَوْنًا عَلَى تَحَمُّلِ أَعْبَاءِ الْمُجَاهَدَةِ فِي الْعِبَادَاتِ لَا إِعْجَابًا وَفَخْرًا. So the saints, the miracles of the saints, the karamat, the extraordinary acts that are granted to a saint by Allah Azza wa Jalla, that gift, these are true. In generality, they're affirmed to be true. Muslims believe that to be the case. فَنُؤْمِنُ بِمَا جَاءَ مِنْهَا. We believe in that which has been transmitted regarding them, but here's the condition. وَصَّحَّ عَنِ الثِّقَاتِ نَقْلُهَا. But these karamat, if they're transmitted via rigorous chains of transmission, then we will affirm them as being true. But in general, the general belief is that the saints of Allah have karamat, and these are real. But whether each individual karamat attributed to wali is true or not, that will depend on whether it's been transmitted via authenticated transmission routes. And then it says, وَيَجُوزُ, it is possible, and يَعْلَمَ الْوَلِيُّ أَنَّهُ وَلِيُّ, it's possible for a wali to know that he's a wali. وَيَجُوزُ أَنْ لَا يَعْلَمُ, And it's also possible that he actually doesn't know that he's a saint. But this is different from a prophet. A prophet cannot be ignorant of the fact that they are chosen prophet from, they are chosen by Allah. They cannot have any doubts or ambiguity that they're a prophet. So a prophet must know that they are a prophet because they are speaking, they are emissaries on behalf of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And they are specially selected by Allah. وَيَجُوزُ إِظْهَارُ الْكَرَامَةِ مِنَ الْوَلِيِّ لِلْمُسْتَرْشِدِ تَرْغِيبًا لَهُ عَلَيْهَا وَعَوْنًا عَلَى تَحَمُّلِ أَعْبَاءِ الْمُجَاهَدَةِ فِي الْعِبَادَاتِ لَا إِجَابًا وَفَخْرًا. And then he says, it's permissible for a saint to manifest his miracle to anyone who's seeking guidance, by either seeking the truth. So anyone who's seeking the truth, it's permissible for a wali to manifest a miracle. Why? Targhiban. So it is out, it is sort of to encourage and to aid or assist So it's permissible for a saint, let me reread that. It's permissible for a saint to manifest a miracle for someone seeking guidance. For someone seeking guidance. So a saint manifests a miracle, enacts a miracle in order to show that person that they are a saint as a way of encouraging them. ترغيبا له عليها وعونا على تحمل أعباء المجاهدة في العبادات. So if someone comes to seek help from a saint, it's permissible for a saint to encourage that seeker, that learner, to solidify their رغبة, their desire, and their to maintain encouraging them by committing a miracle, by enacting a miracle. The miracle can also be done to help someone do their acts of ibadah. They do their acts of ibadah. And so as long as they do that, not out of any fakhr or any kind of sense of impressing others or to show off, as long as that's not, it's not done out of that. It's not done out of ijaban wa fakhran. It's not out of marvel or pride. Then it says, so having talked about hierarchy of rank, talks about saintly miracles. Now he's talking about loving the Sahaba. He says, وَنُحِبُّ جَمِيعَ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَلَا نُفَرِّطُ فِي أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا نَتَبَرَّأُ مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا نَذْكُرُهُمْ إِلَّا بِخَيْرٍ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنَ الْقَوْلَ فِي أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَأَزْوَاجِهِ وَأُمَّهَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَذُرِّيَّاتِهِ فَقَدْ بَرِئَ مِنَ النِّفَاقِ وَعُلَمَاءُ السَّلَفِ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ وَالتَّابِعِينَ وَمَنْ بَعَدَهُمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْخَيْرِ وَالْأَثَرِ وَأَهْلِ الْفِقْهِ وَالنَّظَرِ لا يذكرون إلا بجميل ومن يذكرهم بسوء فهو ضال عن سواء السبيل. Then he, rahimahullah, he says that we love all of the companions of the Messenger of Allah. We love all of the companions. We do not show any excessive love for any one of them, a fanatical love for any one of them, nor do we disassociate ourselves from any one of them. Because showing excessive love for one of the Sahaba may render us being disrespectful to another Sahaba. And neither do we, وَلَا نَتَبَرَّأْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ, neither do we disassociate ourselves from any of the Sahaba, because that will imply they were guilty of something. And we do not believe that Sahaba, رضي الله عنهم, were guilty of any serious wrongdoing. And so that's why he then says, وَلَا نَذْكُرُهُمْ إِلَّا بِخَيْرٍ. We only mention them with We only mention them in a good way. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنَ الْقَوْلَ فِي أَصَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَأَزْوَاجِ أُمَّهَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ And whoever speaks well of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, his wives, our mothers, the mother of the believers, his progeny, his family, فَقَدْ بَرِئَ مِنَ النِّفَاقِ, that person has been, has distanced themselves, has been free from hypocrisy. And then he says, وَعُلَمَاءُ السَّلَفِ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ وَالتَّابِعِينَ وَمَنْ بَعَدَهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْخَيْرِ وَالْأَثَرُ وَأَهْلِ الْسُحْبِ وَالنَّظَرِ لَا يُذْكَرُونَ إِلَّا بِالْجَمِيلِ. So he says, the scholars of the Salaf, the righteous Salaf, as well as those, so the ulama of the Salaf, the ulama of the early generations, مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ وَالتَّابِعِينَ, from the righteous and the successors, and those who followed them, from people who are good, and the people who are of the Ahlul Athar, the traditionists, the people of Hadith, wa Ahlul Fiqh, the Fuqaha, the scholars of law, wa Nadhar, the scholars of theology or Ilmul Kalam, la yuthkaruna illa bil jameel. We do not mention them except in a good way, in a beautiful way. وَمَنْ يَذْكُرُهُمْ بِسُوءٍ فَهُوَ ضَالٌ عَنِ السَّوَاءِ السَّبِيلِ. But whoever mentions them in an unbecoming and rotten and bad manner, in an evil manner, that person has deviated from the straight path. So whether it's the people of Hadith, the ulama of Hadith, whether it's the people who are pious and religious, whether it's the ulama of Kalam, whoever it is, whatever category of scholars, we do not mention any of them in a evil or unbecoming way. Then he continues, وَنَعْتَقِدُ أَنَّ أَبَا بَكْرٍ صِدِّيقٍ أَفْضَلُ الْعَالِمِينَ بَعْدَ النَّبِيِّينَ ثُمَّ عُمَرٍ بِنَ خَطَّابٍ وَقَدْ اجْتَمَعَتِ الصَّحَابَةُ عَلَى خِلَافَتِهِمَا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ فَمَنْ أَنْكَرَ خِلَافَتَهُمَا يَكْفُرْ ثُمَّ عُثْمَانَ ذَنْ نُرَيْنِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ ثُمَّ الْإِمَامَ عَلِيِّ بِنْ أَبِي طَالِبٍ سَيْفَ اللَّهِ الْمَسْلُولِ ابْنَ عَمِّ الْمُصْطَفَى زَوْجَ فَاطِمَةِ الزَّهْرَاءِ الْبَتُولِ اتَّفَقَتِ الْأُمَّةُ عَلَى أَهْلِيَّتِهِ لِلْإِمَامَةِ اتِّفَاقًا لَمْ يُوجَدْ فِي غَيْرِهِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ فَهَؤُلَاءِ الْأَرْبَعَةُ هُمُ الْخُلَفَاءُ الرَّاشِدُونَ وَالْأَئِمَّةُ الْمَهْدِيُّونَ وشهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالجنة لعشرة وهم أبو بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي طلحة وزبير سعد سعيد وعبد الرحمن بن عوف وأبو عبيدة عامر بن جراح وهو أمين هذه الأمة رضوان الله عليهم أجمعين. Then he says, ونعتقد, we believe that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq is the best people after the best of people after the prophets, alayhim salam. Then after Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is Sayyiduna Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhuma. And all of the companions are in agreement regarding their khilafah, their rule. So whoever denies their khilafah has committed disbelief. Has committed the disbelief. Then, after Sayyiduna Umar, he is Sayyiduna Uthman, Dhun-Nurayn, the one who is the possessor of the two lights, meaning he's married, the marriage to the two daughters of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wassalam, Ruqayyan Umm Kulthum. And so, after him, radiyallahu an, is now Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, the Sayfullah al-Maslul, the one who is the drawn sword of Allah Azza wa Jal, Ibn Ammi al-Mustafa, cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the chosen one, Zawja Fatima al-Zahra al-Batul, the husband of Fatima al-Zahra al-Batul, Fatima al-Zahra, the daughter of the Messenger of Allah, the chaste, the pure, radiallahu anha, اتفقت الأمة على أهليته للإمامة اتفاقا. The whole of the Ummah, Muslim community, has agreed on his worthiness as being Khalifa, his Khilafa, and its worthiness, its أهليه. لم يوجد في غيره رضي الله عنه. And such an agreement doesn't exist for anyone else other than him, رضي الله عنه. What was I going to mention on this? But of course, there is a unanimous agreement on the Khilafah of Abu Bakr and Umar, رضي الله عنهما, as well. And he just affirmed that, the Shaykh rahimahullah affirms that just a few lines before. And then he says, فهؤلاء الأربعة هم الخلفاء الراشدون والأئمة المهديون. These four men are the rightly guided khulafa and the upright imams of this ummah. Then he says, the Messenger of Allah bore witness for 10 of his companions who will be in paradise. شهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالجنة لعشرة. They are Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar ibn al-Khattab, Uthman ibn Affan, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Talha ibn Ubaidillah, Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, excuse me, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas, Sa'id ibn Zayd, and Abd al-Rahman ibn Awf, Abu Ubaid Amir ibn al-Jarrah, and who was a law trustee of this nation. And their rank, their rank is in order as it's mentioned in the hadith. So each is according to their rank. And then he mentioned, after mentioning the sort of ranks of the prophets and the saints, and then the inviolability of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and then the rank of the Sahaba and the rank, the 10 mentioned in paradise. Here, rahimahullah, he moves on to some additional matters of faith. And we'll read this and then we will close after this section. He says, Faslun, in a section, نَرَى الْجَمَاعَةَ حَقًّا لَازِمًا بِالْإِنْقِيَادِ لِوَلِيِّ الْأَمْرِ وَطَاعَتِهِ وَنَرَى الْعِصْيَانَ بِالْخُرُوجِ عَلَيْهِ وَمُخَالَفَتِهِ ولا يجوز نصب إمامين في عصر واحد ولا نرى الخروج على الأئمة وإن جاروا ونرى الصلاة خلف كل بر مفاجر. So he says that we deem communal unity نرى الجماعة حقا. We hold or deem unity to be لازما, a binding right. And how is this achieved? بالإنقياد لولي الأمر وطاعته. And this is by submission to a wali amr, a khalifa, a sultan, an amir, a head of state, وطاعته, and to obey him, except in matters where he may, if it means disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal. Because لا طاعة المخلوق, لا في معصية الخالق. لا طاعة المخلوق في معصية الخالق. There is no obedience to the creation if it means disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. It says, وَنَرَى لِعِسْيَانِ بِالْخُرُوجِ عَلَيْهِ وَمُخَالَفَتِهِ. We consider dissent and open opposition to him to be disobedience, a rebellion against the rightful, legitimate Khalifa. To rebel against him is impermissible unless there is a valid reason, such as, for example, kufr buwah, or like explicit kufr. Or if the Khalifa becomes non-Muslim or something like that. Then he says, وَلَا يَجُوزُ نَصْبُ الْإِمَامَيْنِ فِي عَصْرٍ وَاحِدٍ. This is one of the most pivotal statements in Islamic political theory. It is not permissible to establish two khalifas, two imams, in the same time. At the same time. You can't have two head of states in one time period. We cannot have two imams in one time period. It's not permissible. This is one of the life and death issues within the ummah. This is an issue to do with life and death. I.e., there are some things that Islam puts as a matter of life and death, i.e. blood can be spilled. It's permissible to spill blood in order to maintain that thing. And one of the things where it's permissible to make spilling of blood lawful is if someone tries to disunite the Muslims by claiming to be an imam and challenging the rightful legitimacy of an imam or a sultan or a khalifa, i.e. let's just say someone is an existing khalifa legitimately appointed by the ummah, and someone tries to usurp his authority. That second person his blood can be spilled. His neck can be struck. Normally, you're not allowed to take the life of any believer. But in the case of unity, if it creates disunity, then that life can be forfeited. So this shows you that this is a major obligation. Unity is a major obligation. And in fact, Allah knows best, one of the maqasid al-sharia is the unity of the Muslim ummah. This is, if you look at the sharia rules, they're all aiming towards ensuring the unity of the ummah. Look at the hilal. Look at the beginning and the ending of Ramadan, the hajj. The many communal obligations. These are to do with the ummah, ensuring that our unity is there. You can only have one imam. And things like that. So there are a lot of ahkam aiming towards the unity of the Muslims. We're not allowed to break the jama'ah. We're not allowed to break the body of the Muslim ummah, or the community. A person's life can be forfeited because of that. So very, very important points here by Imam Ashurun Bulali, rahimahullah. Then he says, وَنَرَى الصَّلَاةَ خَلْفَ كُلِّ بَرٍ وَفَاجِرٍ. That we, وَلَا نَرَى الْخُرُوجَ عَلَى الْأَئِمَّةِ وَإِنْ جَاءُوا. Even if our rulers, our validly appointed rulers, are oppressive, we are not allowed to rebel. We are not allowed to destabilize the body polity of the ummah by doing khuruj. That doesn't mean we can't account any ruler who's oppressive, of course, and there are mechanisms related to that. And then you have like the mazalim, the qadi mazalim, the judge of unjust acts, who can account or bring the ruler or the khalifa to task. So we have structures and mechanisms in place within Islamic system that enables a ruler, head of state, to be held accountable. And the people have the right to hold him accountable. And then he says that we consider it valid to perform the janazah prayer, the funeral prayer, over every Muslim that dies, whether they are righteous or not righteous. ونعتقد أن دين الله تعالى في السماء والأرض واحد وهو دين الإسلام. قال تعالى إن الدين عند الله الإسلام وهو بين الغلو وتقصير وتشبيه وتعطيل وبين الجبر والقدر وبين الأمن واليأس. He says, we believe that this deen of Allah in the heavens and the earth is the religion of Islam. It is the one religion which is the deen of Al-Islam. And it is a deen that is the most balanced. It is a deen that is the most balanced. It is between ghulu, extreme, and taqseer, a laxity. It is between tashbih and ta'til. It is between comparing Allah to creation and negating Allah, what is rightfully His of His attributes. وَبَيْنَ الْجَبَرِ وَالْقَدَرِ. And it is the best balance between determinism, hard determinism, and extreme libertarianism. وَبَيْنَ الْأَمْنِ وَالْيَأْسِ. And it's the best balance between feeling secure from Allah's anger and punishment and despairing of His mercy. And then he says, وَالْأَعْمَالُ لَيْسَتْ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ كَمَا قَالَ أَهْلُ الْحَدِيثِ وَالْإِيمَانُ لَا يَزِيدُ وَلَا يَنْقُصُ وَالزِّيَادَةُ الْوَارِدَةُ فِي الْإِيمَانِ زِيَادَةُ ثَمَرَتِهِ وَإِشْرَاقُ نُورِهِ. Faith, he says, actions are not a component of faith, of iman, and as was held by the people of Hadith. Because the essence of faith is tasdeeq in the heart of everything. قُلْ مَا جَاءَ بِهِ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ. And so he says, well, in essence, iman, that hard conviction, that tasdeeq, لَا يَزِيدُ وَلَا يَنْقُصُ, that in reality doesn't increase and decrease. That in reality doesn't increase or decrease. What the increase means was زيادة الواردة في الإيمان زيادة ثمرتي وإشراق نوري. Rather, it refers to the increase in the fruits or outcomes of the iman and the إشراق نوري, meaning that the conviction itself doesn't go up and down, but the effects from that belief can go up and down. So certainty doesn't go up and down, then because your belief will change. But rather, what goes up and down is the effects from your belief. And those are the things that go up and down. ولا يجوز أن يوصف الله سبحانه وتعالى بالقدرة على الظلم والسفة والكذب لأن المحال لا يدخل تحت القدرة ولا يجوز الخلف في الوعد واختلف في خلف الوعيد وقال بعض أصحابنا يجوز الخلف في الوعيد كرما لأنه يليق بجنابه ولا يجوز في الوعد لأنه لؤم وَهُوَ مُحَالٌ فِي حَقِّهِ تَعَالَى. Then he says, it's not permissible to describe Allah Azza wa Jal as having the ability to oppress, to do dhulm, to do injustice. And it's not permissible to describe Allah to be foolish or to lie and things like that, because these are muhal, the intrinsically inconceivable, the impossible. وَلَا يَدْخُلُ تَحْتَ الْقُدْرَةِ. And power doesn't connect to things that are impossible. And then he says, but it is not possible for him, جَلَّ وَعَلَى, to break his divine promise. وَلَا يَجُوزُ الْخُلْفُ فِي الْوَعَدِ. But there is disagreement over his threats, his wa'id, the threats that he makes to his believer, to anyone who disobeys him. He says some of our scholars say yajuzu al-khulfu fil wa'id, that it is possible for Allah to not execute his divine threat of punishment out of karam, out of his generosity. Because that is, لِأَنَّهُ يَلِيخُ بِجَنَابِهِ or جَلَالِهِ, because that itself is congruent with his jalala, his majesty. There's nothing contradictory about that. Allah withdrawing his punishment out of his generosity. This is befitting his majesty. But لا يجوز في الوعد. But it is not possible with regards to Allah to overturn His divine promise of reward, as that would be considered to be low, لؤم, so sort of base. وهو محال في حقه تعالى. And that seems very, very low to do that. That's a very bad thing to do. You promise the righteous good reward. You promise your reward, but then you renege on your promise. That is not befitting of Allah's majesty. Then he says, فعل الصلاح فعل الصلاح والأصلح ليس بواجب على الله تعالى وتكليف ما لا يطاق غير جائز عندنا. Then he says that we do not consider it obligatory on Allah to do always what is best for His servant, to do what is aslah for His servants, as the Mu'tazila believe. That this is not obligatory on Allah. It doesn't mean Allah won't do it, but He's not obligated to do it, such that if He doesn't do it, He's unjust. وَتَكْلِيفُ مَا لَا يُطَاقْ غَيْرُ جَازٍ جَائِزَ عِنْدَنَا. And he says, according to us, it is not possible or proper for Allah to place a burden on a servant that he can't bear. There's disagreement over whether Allah can overburden us or Allah can command us to do something which we're unable to actually carry out. Finally, he says, إيمان المقلد صحيح لوجود التصديق وإن كان عاصيا بترك الاستدلال. وَمَنْ تَابَ عَنْ كَبِيرَةٍ صَحَّتْ تَوْبَتُهُ مَعَ الْإِصَارِهِ عَلَى كَبِيرَةِ غَيْرِهَا فَلَا يُعَاقَبُ بِالَّتِي تَابَ عَنْهَا وَمَنْ تَابَ عَنْ الْكَبَائِرِ لَا يَسْتَغْنِي عَنْ تَوْبَةِ الصَّغَائِرِ وَيَجُوزُ أَنْ يُعَاقَبَ بِهَا. The iman, the belief of a muqallid, of someone who follows based on authority and without any thinking, is valid due to his conviction, لِوُجُودِ التَّصْدِيقِ, because a muqallid has conviction. Because of that conviction, his iman is valid, even though he might be sinful for not basing his iman on any rational proof. In kana asiyan bi tarki al-istidlal, by based on some kind of rational inference. So if I believe based on someone else's testimony that something is the case, and I have conviction in that, then your iman will be valid, but unfortunately the person would have sinned because they didn't use some kind of rational inference or some kind of rational deduction to arrive at the conclusion of their belief. But of course, if the person, the muqallid here, is not able to make some kind of rational deductive proof, then he won't be sinful. But those who are able to arrive at the conclusion via using their mind, then they're sinful for not using their mind to arrive at the truth. By taking it instead on authority instead of proof, independent rational proof, that's sinful. And whoever repents from doing a major sin, his repentance is valid and accepted, even if he is doing another major sin. وَمَنْ تَابَ عَنْ كَبِيرَةٍ صَحَّتْ تَوْبَتُهُ مَعَ إِصْرَارِهِ عَلَىٰ كَبِيرَةٍ غَيْرِهَا. So if a person makes tawbah from one major sin, but then that tawbah is accepted. But even if he happened to be doing another major sin, which is different from the one he made tawbah for, فَلَا يُعَاقَبُ بِالَّتِي تَابَ عَنْهَا. He will not be punished for the one that he made repentance for. So the enormity, the major sin that he made repentance for, won't be punished on account of that. However, مَنْ تَابَ عَنِ الْكَبَائِرِ لَا يَسْتَغْنِي عَنْ تَوْبَةِ الصَّغَائِرِ وَيَجُوزَ أَنْ يُعَاقَبَ بِهَا. But just because a person makes tawbah or ask Allah for forgiveness or repents from doing major sins, that does not mean they are absolved from asking forgiveness for their minor sins. It is possible that a person be punished. يجوز أن يعاقب بها. It's possible that a person be punished for those minor sins. So we've just now read another section from Imam Ashurun Bulay's Maraqi al-Sa'adat. I will stop there and open up for any questions. وآخر دعواني حمد وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد. Okay, in that case, if there is no questions, بإذن الله تعالى, we will resume next week, carrying on with the section on Tawheed, i.e. on theology, from Imam Ashurun Bulay's Maraqi al-Sa'adat. Until then, نراكم على خير والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.